Well, thank you, Brother Jesse. I'm sure a lot of you listened to the Driving Home program on the radio station. Brother Jesse heads that up for us and does a good job. Won't you open your Bible to another time? I think I was here a little bit last week. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 again. Great chapter in the Word of God. A powerful chapter. And we're going to go to chapter 8 and read a few verses beginning in verse 18. And don't know if you ever thought about it this way. You know that if you are saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven because of what he did for you and you've accepted him. Did you ever think about it like this? In this life, now, you have all the hell you're ever going to have. If you're not saved, you're having all the heaven you're ever going to have right now. And if we'd be truthful, even if things are going good, it's not heaven here. Amen. Romans chapter 8, these verses are deep, they're powerful, they're truthful, they're reality. Starting in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Now, it speaks of the creature and it speaks of the creation. It's all inclusive here. Everything God made, not only the animals, not only the mankind, but it almost sounds like the actual material things, such as rocks and trees and earth and all that we could name right here. And it talks about the truth here that the whole creation groaneth, verse 22, and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about groaning. No, I'm not just groaning about the election. I know we're not too happy with that and shouldn't be happy with it. We ought to groan over the way our nation's turned and pray that it would turn back. And we haven't seen the worst of it yet, that's for sure. So it's okay to groan and even whine a little bit about it, but there's some bigger things, folks. There really is. This great chapter ends in victory, powerful victory. We'll talk about that maybe later. But until then, it talks about a lot of groaning here. The verses that I just read, the whole creation groaning. And not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, those that are saved. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Boy, that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Waiting. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Not just our soul saved, but the day is coming our body is going to be saved. Coming forth changed, never to be sick again, never to be weak again. Boy, that'll be the day, won't it? But in the meantime, we groan in it quite a bit, don't we? I mean, deep hurt. Now, groaning is more than just ouch. Deep hurt is more than just a cut. Deep hurt comes from within. If you were to read John 11, you'd find Jesus when he's going to Lazarus' funeral. And he sees all the crowd weeping and the sisters. And you remember what it says? It says he groaned within himself. He was in sympathy with them. And groaning comes from within. Groaning, you can't just take an organ of the body and say, well, it's my kidney or my heart or it's my liver hurting. No, it's a unified thing. A groan that comes out. It's just maybe something almost uncontrollable, and it's something you don't practice. I've seen some of these pagan type funerals where they have paid folks to cry and to weep. That's the silliest thing I've ever seen. But if it's real, brother, it'll come from within. I mean, deep hurt from within. And it's a soul hurt, so to speak. Now, we recognize reality. We talk about heaven a lot. Fine, we're going there. But recognizing reality and facts give us a lot to groan about. I mean, there's much to groan over in this old world, the struggle of life. Maybe going good today, but in every life, there's going to come some things to groan about. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some hardships that come in the struggle of life, the ups and downs of life. And some of the facts we deal with, number one, life is fleeting. It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away, the scripture says. And I don't know about you, but as we look back, sometime are you amazed how much time it was? My son used to ride around town with me, and he'd say, well, Daddy, when did that happen? I said, well, a couple years ago. Daddy, that was 20 years ago. Wow, what in the world happened? That sort of thing just moves on. We're kind of amazed at it. This week, I actually dug into some of the layers, not all of them, in my office that have accumulated over 50 years. Just piled. My wife would clean out my office once in a while, but I'd tell her, don't touch it. And I'd put another layer on top of that layer, on that layer, you know. I'm sad. I'm not a very good office keeper. But as I begin to dig through some of the things and pull it out and look at it and remind myself of this and of that, I think, how could it be? How quick that time went. I can't hardly believe that. I'd be amazed at it. But some of it made me rejoice. Some of it was over victories. And some of it made me groan. Some of it I said, oh, I could have done better there. Some of the goals I reached for and didn't reach made me groan. Some of the dreams I had that didn't quite fulfill made me groan. But then I realized, I tell you the truth, I had more praises than I did groans. And that's great. That's great. But choices made the difference. Somebody says, is your ship coming in? Talking about, are you going to inherit something? Somebody else said, your ship won't come in if you never send it out. And that's talking about, what did you invest in a real sense? What did you invest your life in? What have you done right that you didn't expect dividends off of? Or what have you done wrong that you're going to reap for? That's reality, of course, with all of us. And we look back and we're amazed sometimes, and some things we do groan over. You know, we all have an allotment. Let me explain that. Book of Daniel was shown a lot of future stuff. And it got right down to the end. And you know what? Daniel was a human being just like us. And he said, Lord, I just can't quite get a hold of it. I can't quite understand of it. And the Lord told him, just go your way. You'll stand in your lot at the end. Or in other words, your spot that's fenced off for you. When I was a kid on the farm, if somebody said, go to the lot, I knew what that meant. Out there where the mule was kept. Out there where the cow or something was, it was in a measured off spot. In our lives, we do have a lot that we stand in, and we'll stand and face God for the lot that he put us in, for the opportunities we had, for the things we could have done, didn't do, and the things we did do, we shouldn't have done, all of that in our lot, but it'll be a fair lot. God will be fair with us. We all have an allotment. We'll stand in our lot. Now, the big question is, how aware of it are we now while we're in there, while we're living it? That's the challenge. How are we living it now? I'll tell you this, folks, and most of you old enough to know this, we'll groan in the latter years for some of the things we did in the younger years. Yeah, we will reap what we sowed. Somebody said, you know, they like to sow their wild oaks, and then when they Their kids come along, they pray for crop failure. Yeah, those oaks are going to come up. They're going to reap what they've sown. There's going to be a time that we're going to groan over some things we wish we had not had done, and so forth. But there's some facts. Life is fleeting, and death is certain. Death is certain. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. A time we'll be held accountable for the life that God gave us. Somebody says, well, death ends all. Well, let me tell you something. I agree with you. It ends all earthly things. Earthly things. Plans, promises, actions. Yeah, all that'll end. It'll come to an end. And truth is, it starts all things eternal. And that's where the values are really at. Death is no respect of persons. It comes to the big and powerful as well as to the weak and to the rich and to the poor and all that. We understand that. I look over in the book of Ecclesiastes, very practical book, earthly book, talks about what man can see and learn under the sun. In other words, what he can see, feel, touch, taste, so forth. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, pick it up in verse 6. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Now, see how reality that is? Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. He can't stop it. There is no discharge in that war. In other words, he's speaking of death as a war, and he says there's no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to put that on a signboard, put that on TV, and let folks kind of absorb it? Wow, it is something that is certain. It is no respect of persons. There is no discharge in that war. Reality. Now, the fact is that mankind, everybody fears death, mainly because we've never done it before, right? So how you know I haven't done it? Because you're sitting out there and looking at you. You may have come close. You may have thought it was there, but you hadn't done it yet. We're all afraid of what we haven't done yet, right? Sure we are. And the truth of the matter is, all mankind, now we've had this pandemic thing on us, and we've seen how man fears death. He fears the threat of it. The COVID hadn't hurt us as bad as the fear of the COVID has. It's the fear that is amazing to me about the thing. And that's really sad. But Hebrews chapter 2 says man is in bondage to the fear of death all his life. And we see that. Did you buckle your seatbelt on the way to church this morning? Did you take your vitamins? Huh? Did you try to get enough sleep, enough to eat? You know what? You're trying to push death away as far as you can. But I got news for you. It's on your trail. It'll track every one of us down. It's coming. There's no doubt about it. It will. And we can fear it. I remember trying to, I couldn't quite get it as a kid. And of course, most of us still don't get it to a great degree. I remember coming into the house. I was about no more than 4. And I said, Mother, what is Daddy? And it was a hired man on the farm there. And both of them were building something. They were sawing boards and they were driving nails. And I come in and asked Mother, what were they building? She said, they're building a box. And I went back and looked and I could see a long box being built. And I got a few little questions in. What are they going to do with the box, Mother? They're going to put a man in the box. You know, I couldn't quite wrap around it, but a fellow had died in the neighborhood, in the country. Others got together, they were building him a pine box to be buried in. And I couldn't quite understand that. Going to put him in a box and bury him in the ground, you know, for a four-year-old kid. I was a little bit, couldn't figure that one out. I do remember going to the church service and mother sitting on the back row with me. The windows open in an old wooden building and that same box being down front. And they were trying to explain to me what death was. I couldn't quite understand that. Then I got a little bit older and dad accidentally ran over my dog with a truck. And I watched him die. And that was a painful thing to me. And I couldn't hardly get over it that my dog was here today, but he wasn't here now. Now I could call him, but he wouldn't come. Now death began to say something to me. And you know, a lot of folks have to go through life and we put off what we know is coming. We're not ready for it. We don't want it to come. We'll push it away as far as we can. But we ought to settle on the truth. It is coming. It is coming. It is going to happen. Death is certain. And death leaves an empty spot. I don't minimize it at all. Leaves an empty place at the table. Empty chair. A voice you don't hear anymore. And somebody you can't touch anymore. It's real. It's painful. No wonder man fears it all of his life. My dad died. I can't believe how much time it's been now. He died way back in 1984. And Dad and I were pretty close, and he worked here in the church helping me after he retired from his job. And ultimately, I had a heart attack, didn't tell us much about it, and then the next one took him out. And even that caught me a little bit by surprise. Some of the regrets I have is I wasn't wise enough to see it coming quicker. But anyway, I remember the night he passed away. Got over to the house in time to get the ambulance there, but by the time he got to the hospital, he was gone. And mother was getting older, and mother was getting to where she was showing signs of Alzheimer's. And we got through the funeral, and I knew that really it hadn't hit her all that hard yet, so I believe it was the night of the funeral. After the funeral, I decided to stay the night at the house because she'd have been by herself. And I think the doctor had given her maybe something to help her sleep or something. And I remember during the night, I heard her voice call out. And she called my name and she said, "Mickey, is Roy dead?" Roy was my dad's name. And in the dark, I said, "Well, no, Mother, not really dead." And she didn't say anything else. And the next morning, here's what she said to me. She said, "During the night, I rolled over. And I thought I touched his arm. I felt so sorry for her, felt the hurt for her. Yes, death is real when we lose a loved one. You don't hear his voice anymore. You don't have the touch anymore. And yes, that's something we can groan deep in our spirit about. No doubt about it. We can. Really, really we can. And it leaves an empty place. And it leaves an empty chair. And an empty table. And the voice is gone. And the touch is gone. And all that. And so we say, all right. Life is fleeting. We grieve. We groan over that. Death is certain. We can groan over that. But why does it happen? It happens because this is a sin-cursed world. Sin is a transgression of God's law. The first Adam sinned in the garden. The Bible says, "Wherefore is but one man," talking about Adam, "wherefore is but one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death hath passed upon all men, for in that all have sinned." You say, "Well, I've never sinned." Then you'll never die. But you're a liar, you have. And death is on your trail. Death is very, very real. Sin is the cause of it. Adam was the first man and said, "Well, it was Adam's fault, not mine." Yeah, but you've done the same thing Adam did. You knew right and done wrong. You've broken God's law. And the evil wage of sin is death. And you hear groans about that all the time. You look around and see the bad stuff in the world. Well, you look around today and we see man's inhumanity to man. You know, truthfully, you don't have to fear the lion unless you go in there and bother him where he lives. But a man will find out where you live and come bother you. There's a difference. And mankind is the one you better fear. Mankind is the one that is the biggest danger to us all. It's an inherent thing. It's a sinful thing. It's a wrong thing. And this old world does groan. And the text that I read to you talks about the groaning of it. Sin is what is behind it. We see its evil wage. We know it's from fallen nature, from bad choices. You think about it, what it is saying here. It says, because the creature itself, verse 21, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's future. That's coming. But now, down in verse 22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Do you know this whole world groans? Somebody says, I picked up a seashell along the ocean beach there, and I listened to the waves roar. No, what you heard was a world groaning. Did you ever lay awake at night in an old house that might have not been airtight and hear the wind blow around the corner? What kind of sound does it make? It moans. It moans. I've even read where you say, well, look at all those songbirds out there in the tree, and they're making all those pretty chirping noises. I've read where they tell us that many of those noises are birds warning other birds, stay out of my territory. They're in a struggle. The struggle in this life. Everywhere you look, there's a struggle. The struggle of life. We speak about it. Sometimes. We speak about the law of the claw and the fang, or the law of the jungle. Do you know before Adam sinned, no animal ate another animal? The carnivorous nature of the beast came in because of sin. When we move forward, when the Lord Jesus comes back and restores this earth, the carnivorous nature of an animal is going to be changed. We read in Isaiah 11 where the lion and the lamb's going to lay down together in peace. We can't imagine that now, can we? But now we are in our groaning time. With the whole creation, we groan. In the struggle of life, we groan. In this thing of death, we groan, no doubt about it. And the truth is, it's a result of sin. Don't blame God. Man makes his choice. In Proverbs 14:12, it says over there, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Way that seems right turns out wrong. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Still the same. And yeah, we got a lot to groan about. This is our groaning time. This is the time that we are having all the hell we're ever going to have, all the pain we're ever going to have if we're saved. It's now. So, well, I'm not getting along too bad. Good. I hope you finish up that way. But if not, this is the worst you'll ever have. But you reject Jesus Christ, and this is the best you're ever going to have. With all your pains and aches and faults and problems, this is the best it's going to get if you neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our hope is in verse 18 here. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Speaking of two different situations, suffering now, glory yet to be revealed. You know how what will help you with the suffering now? Keeping your eye on the glory. Joy was singing a while ago, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? And listen, because I know how it's finally going to end, I can deal with it better right now, no matter how bad it gets. And it can get pretty bad. Here we call on God's grace to get us through. But it's that grace that gives us the victory on the other side that makes it possible now. Groaning is temporary for the saved. This is our groaning time. It says in verse 23 here that we're waiting for the redemption of the body. Why am I groaning? Why am I waiting? I'm waiting for something better. I'm waiting for my moving day. I'm going to be move up to a house not made with hands, 2 Corinthians 5. The redemption of the body. You know what that means? It means I won't get tired anymore. It means I won't hurt anywhere. It's going to be the redemption of the body. You know what hurts me right now? Yeah, I'm groaning my soul over some bad stuff, but I'm doing a lot of groaning over the flesh, aren't you? Huh? Oh, I won't tell you my ailments because you'd want to tell me yours. And I don't want to listen to yours. You understand we all got them? Sometimes they're particular to us, but they're also common to man. We all have a touch of the same, to be honest about it. What is our hope? Our hope is the sufferings of the present time. Well, that's not all the story. Groaning is going to be temporary for the saved. The redemption of the body is coming. Paul said, what? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. It gets better. Now, if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you grace day by day, but it's going to get better than that. To live is Christ, yes. Helps me face my problems and my pains and my hurts and my disappointments. But it's going to get better. To die is gain. To die is gain. Wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, you know, Psalmist felt that. Psalmist said over around Psalms 30, he said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. In the morning. In the morning when God's sons sing together around the throne. In the morning when we're going to be on the other side. In the morning that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us. In the morning, no more groaning. It's groaning time now. But let's not let it whip us. Let's not get it down, because the very last verses of this chapter are so powerful. These last verses tell us how clear the victory is with the love of Christ. If you haven't read these verses and read them pretty often, when things get rough, you ought to read them. It says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We're going to have some of that in this world, Jesus said. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter. But then he says no or nay in verse 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Through Christ. And then he gives these powerful verses where he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, however bad it is right now, or things to come, good or bad, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Been saved, nothing can separate you from his love. Been saved, you got the victory, and this old world and all of its evil cannot take it away. Oh, we might groan here for a little bit, but it's temporary groaning. Yeah, we're waiting for the redemption of the body. We'll get rid of that cancer we pray, put on the prayer list now. We'll get rid of those bad things then. In the meantime, we'll have his grace while we wait for his redemption. This is groaning time now, but never ever again. I really like that. I'm not a Pollyanner. I don't say everything is perfect. No, it rains on the just and unjust alike. And while we come in on a beautiful day like this and come to God's house and sing the songs and all that, just remember some people are laying on the suffering bed. Some people would love to be here, but they can't. Some people got bad news. Some people are groaning. groaning. If it's not our groaning time now, we may have some of it. May have some of it before the Lord comes. But it's still temporary. There's something better on the other side. Now the key is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you having all the hell you're ever going to have here? Or are you having all the heaven you're ever going to have here? Depends on whether or not you know him. Amen. Do you know him this morning? I pray you do. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we know we're in an old sin-cursed world. We know the curse is apparent everywhere we look. But Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus paid off that curse. And you accepted that payment because you brought him forth from the dead. We thank you that victory is ahead, that groaning time is not forever. For those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, victory is ahead. I pray, Father, not one in this room, this building this morning would leave unsaved because Jesus is the answer. No matter how good it's going now, how bad it's going now, he's the answer. And I pray for that person that needs to come and receive him and get the peace that they can turn it all over to him because he does hold tomorrow. I ask your blessing on the invitation. I pray not one would leave lost. I pray, Father, they'd come and receive the Lord Jesus even this morning, for I ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Would you come receive Christ? Would you meet me here? I pray you will. Will you come?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come? Will you come? Singing, I come, will you come?
Just as I am.
Do you need what you can get in Jesus? Are you going through a groaning time right now, time of pain? Is it nighttime in your life? Is weeping enduring with you now through the night? Scripture says, joy cometh in the morning. To receive Christ makes this morning, makes it good, gives you that future morning that's most important.
Just as
we sing, will you come?
Though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears.
Sometimes you hear about someone committing suicide because the pressure got so great. The pain was too much. Everything went wrong and everything fell in on them. Sadly, that's not the answer. That don't mean it's going to get better. It may get worse. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it will get worse. Terrible thing when we see how it accumulates on human beings and they don't know the answer. We're talking about our mission program coming. That's our challenge, to get the good news out. Get the news of salvation out. The victory's in Christ. It's not in this world. I don't know what you might be groaning about today. It may be bodily pain, maybe family hurt, things that have broken your heart. And you may have some of it to endure, but guarantee it goes better when you know Jesus than if you don't know him. Thank you. We're going to let you be seated just a moment and share with you here. Just bring it on up to me right here. All right, Dave and Mary Williamson, y'all stand up here with us. We've met these folks and talked with them before. They're coming from Parkview Baptist Church. What city? Chattanooga.
North Lake with Pastor Todd Morris.
Well, that's what I thought, but then I looked down and saw Chattanooga. I don't know what that had to do with it.
We're BIMI missionaries.
All right, now I got the rest of it. They're missionaries with the Baptist International Missions since 1995, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Dave told me he was retired, but pastors really don't retire. People don't let us, do they? Amen. Anyway, they're moving their membership. I believe y'all have moved in the village over here too, haven't you? Next to them. Well, I wish you could have found some better neighbors, but I'm joking at them here a little bit. All right, we have a motion to receive them in the membership. Show of hands and so carried. Let's stand. We'll give you a chance to come by and shake hands with them and welcome them into our church, and we're glad to have them, and encourage everyone to come on back tonight. All right, Brother Perkins, dismiss us, please, in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the message that we just heard, Father. We ask that you'll allow us to take it with us and meditate upon it throughout the week, Father. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe today, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.